This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here, the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. We've had calls about potentially rabid or sick foxes. We've had calls about bear sightings. We've had calls about pollution, you name it. We did have one caller that wanted to know about stalking over in the Middle River area, and the answer is yes. And I do remember we did this story, but I was reminded of it. Your former boss is listening, Tom O'Connell, Fisheries Director, sent me a link to specially tagged fish will provide valuable information on movement of largemouth bass. This is from last November 3rd, 2011. Maryland Bass Federation Nation released 250 largemouth bass on October 21st into several high-quality locations in Middle River as part of DNR's Bass Fishing Enhancement Program. Couple of quotes there from Bass Program Manager Joe Love. The DNR staff inserted red identification tags into 200 of the fish as part of a study to find out if the bass remain in the river. Any angler who catches a tagged fish and provides the date and location along with the tag number to DNR will earn a collectible largemouth bass program volunteer hat. The DNR Bass Program return address is printed on the tag along with a four-digit code. Anglers can call Joe Love with the information, and that information, that phone number is 410-260-8257. So it's an old press release from November 3rd of last year. If you go onto the Department of Natural Resources website, go to fisheries, or go to the press room archives, you can find that press release check that out for yourself if you like. So thanks, Tom O'Connell, for that. Another emailer from the Eastern Shore asks a question: if the Eastern Shore farmers are to blame for polluting the bay with farm runoff, how come all the fish kills are on the Western Shore and none are over here? Got a straight answer for that, Rudy?
I do not.
All right.
As well, I said, I do not blame the farmers. We are all part of the problem.
We're all part of the problem, and hopefully we can all be part of the solution. Let's talk to, hey, look who's on the line. Your former partner in crime. Good morning, Uncle Dale and Easton.
Good morning.
How are you?
You and your distinguished guest. It was funny because in the first hour, you had a couple of things that were brought up that I thought were quite interesting. One was the gentleman who caught the largemouth bass that was an inch short.
Yeah.
Rudy was involved with I don't know if it was a study or not, on how to measure fish and the incredible shrinking fish. He might want to expand on that a little bit later.
How to measure fish?
And the other one involved fish kills. And Rudy had the pleasure of doing this more than I did, but who could forget all those wonderful days and nights on Back River as you looked out at the millions and millions of dead fish.
Back River, unbelievable.
You know, it was just, Alan, it was incredible.
Yeah. Now, were either of you fellas involved in the hysteria of hysteria?
Oh, Lord, please, Alan. That's Rudy as much as anybody, but we were all sucked into that.
Oh, man, I remember the slide presentation at one of the outdoor writers' meetings that summer, and the folks from, where was that lady from, North Carolina or Georgia?
North Carolina. Joanne Burkholder.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, so...
Well, the news media got the people so excited and inflamed and terrified. We actually got a phone call one day about a woman, and she was hysterical because her goldfish died.
Seriously,
she was hysterical. Yeah. She thought her fish had fisteria.
Wow.
I think I can honestly say, Alan, of all things that Rudy and I got involved with, that was by far the worst screw up. I mean, it was just incredible. Once it became a public health issue, that's when all the stuff hit the fan.
Yeah. How many watermen have died from fisteria? Do we know?
There has never been a single documented fish kill from fisteria in Maryland.
Really?
Never. There was a lot of it. There were a couple of implications where there were three fish kills down in the Pocomoke.
Right.
Which, after doing fish kill investigations for 20-some years, you kind of look at the certain characteristics. You can think this was a dissolved oxygen kill.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the people who investigated that kill did not take oxygen readings.
So the really?
So the take was low oxygen was not detected because it was not tested for.
It wasn't tested for, obviously, and that's something. And the thing about that was that these fish were all just very little tiny LYs, if I remember
that's
right.
Correct.
There were
yes,
no,
they are. Yep.
And they're the ones that are most susceptible to
low dissolved oxygen kills.
Low dissolved oxygen.
Yeah. Dale was talking about Back River. Back River, some time ago, it may have changed, had the rather dubious distinction of having the largest single fish kill ever recorded, pollution-related fish kill.
Really?
It was back in 74 when the Baltimore wastewater treatment plant was still doing secondary treatment. They've now been upgraded to tertiary, and things have improved dramatically.
Right.
But back then, the water was literally green.
Well, you guys went all the way up into the source of Back River, didn't you? And saw that big wall of garbage there at the landfill.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah,
amazing,
truly.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, we bow fished up in there, and my buddy George Malone.
Yes.
Yeah, George Malone said, "Come on, I want to show you something." We went up, and I just sat there with my mouth open. It was unbelievable. And then people actually eat fish out of that river.
Alan, a point that I wanted to make about Rudy, if you go and look, one of our former colleagues, Harley Spear, put together a lot of technical papers that the various biologists did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are available online, but if you go and look at that series, you'll find Rudy's name in there as much as anybody.
Oh, no doubt.
And his contributions to fisheries and fisheries management, I would say that are right at the head of the list in terms of all the biologists who have worked there over the years I was there. If you think about all the species that he has worked on, and he alluded to some of this, many of the results, most of the, in fact, all of the results that he came up with are in effect today. They are, I would call them, cornerstones of our fisheries management in terms of a lot of the species. So,
sure.
So in terms of Rudy's contributions, I don't think you can underestimate.
We haven't talked about lizard, fish, or mummy chogs yet.
No. Well, he's got flounder in there, too. So you talk about flounder. You name it, he's done it.
I have no doubt. Yep.
So, but
thank you, Dale.
It's I had the pleasure of working with him for over 30 years, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And I do have one final question, Rudy.
Uh-oh.
How many steps was there from the base of the tail race up the steps to where your tanks were?
33 steps.
Alan, when he was doing the American shad catch and release mortality, he would collect the fish at the bottom of the tail race where the angler stand, and it was a series of steps.
Good grief.
That would go up, and he'd have to take every fish one by one up those steps. And it was funny because we'd be out tagging in a boat, and I would watch him. And we'd start out early in the morning.
Yeah.
He was pretty spry. He was going up down there.
It was a few years ago. You're right. We were both a lot more spry.
What were you doing, 25 fish per tank?
We're shooting for 30, but 25 was our minimum, yes.
So when he got to 25, he was not quite as spry going up.
Oh, man. All right, you guys, telling tales out of school.
But again, it was certainly my pleasure to have all that time with Rudy.
And mine also, Dale. Thank you.
He was great to work with, and with the hickory shad study, all I did was give him the names. He did the rest.
The names of the hickory shad? I know you have them all named. You know.
So
all right.
And you might want to tell the story, Rudy, about having to dismantle the tanks when that. In fact, did you do it once or twice when the flood came through Deer Creek?
Oh, well, the one flood that came through out of Elbow Branch was a tributary to Deer Creek right there at the treatment plant. It took away most of our water system. We had to rebuild that.
Yeah.
Nice.
But what happened, I think Dale might be referring to a study we were doing below Conowingo Dam with net pens.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we had them below the floodgates and the backwater in there, and we got a call from the dam that were going to have to open their floodgates. Could we come and get the tank, the net pens out? And by the time we got there, they had opened the floodgates, and there were 30-foot standing waves below there. We never saw the net pens again.
Oh, man. Oh, part of the bay infrastructure now. So,
yep.
All right, very good. Hey, Dale, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you, Dale.
Good.
All right,
see you.
All right, see you later. Thank you. Let's talk to Frank in his car, and then Mike in Finksbury. Good morning, Frank. How you doing? Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Al.
What's up, buddy?
It's been interesting this morning.
Yes, very.
Got a couple comments to the end of the pollution in the bay. You had mentioned how the rain washes off the streets and the sidewalks.
Yeah.
Well, consider all the asbestos dust from your brakes and all the rubber dust.
Oh, absolutely. All that stuff.
Out.
Yeah, absolutely.
The sources are, there's just so many sources of pollution, you know, you get fearful for the bay. And also recently I met a lady who, unfortunately had shaved her legs and then went wading in the water near Fort McHenry. And she got that skin eating disease and had to have her legs amputated from the knees down.
I'd heard about that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Give folks an idea of how serious it really is and something really needs to be done.
Are you talking about mycobacteriosis? No?
Something, no, a flesh-eating bacteria.
Oh, flesh-eating bacteria, yes. Really?
Yeah. And then and one last issue, Al, is...
Remind me not to shave my legs, Frank.
How many millions of cigarettes do you think are thrown on the hot road or sidewalk every day? And the chemicals from them cigarettes get washed into our bay. It's no wonder there's any wildlife or life in the bay at all, the way things are. And it
all adds up, doesn't it, Frank?
Yes, it does.
It's like it's death really by a thousand cuts.
Concern everybody.
Death by a thousand cuts. Exactly right. Yep, exactly right. We're going to have some folks on from talk about water pollution here in the next week or so, and we've got some good interviews lined up. So stay tuned.
Look out, Mr. Turkey hunting with you this spring.
Yeah, me too. I tell you, I've just been. If I told you my day, let me just give you my week, okay?
Yeah.
Wednesday. Let's see. Wednesday, Easton, St. Michael's, Hooper's Island, Salisbury.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Thursday, Salisbury, Ocean City to Fenwick Island. Probably about 30 stops somewhere between those two locations. Back and forth across the Route 50 bridge three times. And, back home. It's started a day yesterday in Pasadena, wound up in Winfield in Carroll County last night after a trip to Maryland Line up right on the Pennsylvania line. So I've been traveling, buddy. I've been putting in a lot of miles and a lot of windshield time. So
plate is full, huh?
The plate is beyond full. So.
Well, you probably were better off not going. I went opening day, and then I went Saturday, and we never went back because the bugs were that bad that soon.
No, I'm not worried about the bugs, but the birds just were done. I mean, it was all over by the first week. So
yeah, it was.
So
always good to hear you, Al.
All right, Frank. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Have a great day, Frank.
All right, Frank and Easton. Have a good one. Mike in Finksburg. Thanks for waiting, Mike. How are you?
I'm okay, Al. Well, you know they took all my koi this winter, that otter or something.
Yeah, the otter took your koi, and we're getting pictures from Tom over there in Ruxton. He's found some otters over that way somewhere, a big giant male otter, and found three of them, as a matter of fact. So they're living fat and happy over there, and he's taking pictures of them. So
I'd like to see the ones mine. I don't care about them taking them, because they were a little bit of a problem. I couldn't put any other kind of fish in there because it would kill them all, you know?
Yeah.
But my grandson's down from Harrisburg, and our goal was for the last 3 days here, for 6 days, we wanted to catch carp to put back in there.
Yeah.
So me and him have been fishing for 2 days, never
right.
Catch none. So
really?
My wife goes down, and all she did is sit there and watch blind, and all of a sudden it goes down, and it's a big one.
Yeah.
But she couldn't fish. And this little girl, Maddie, we met down there like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
She took the rod, and this little girl, she's going to go into seventh grade. She
right.
brought this carp in for us.
Yeah.
And we put it in a bucket, and I ran that thing with one leg all the way up to my pond. And we're happy now.
No, at least you're happy. That's a good thing. Now, that was, what were you using, corn?
We had, it actually was chicken liver, two kernels of corn, and a little white marshmallow.
Well, that'll do it.
And that worked. Marshmallows, they like the marshmallows.
Yeah, they like marshmallows. They like corn. I'll tell you, one of my favorite baits, if I'm not making dough ball, cornmeal, and you right. drop a little vanilla or anise oil in the dough ball. The anise oil really works great. And you make it out of a cornmeal and flour and sugar and a little bit of anise oil. A-N-I-S-E, for those of you who are paying attention.
You have to grow up like me. I'll tell you, we used to get up the night before we baked dough balls.
Yeah, man.
We would put all garlic. We put everything.
Yeah, well,
trying to catch on.
Let me tell you what's easier.
What?
Go and get some frosted mini wheats.
Really?
Yeah, frosted mini wheats. They make a great dough ball, and they stay on the hook. Just wet them. And make a ball out of them. You know, put your hook in there, make a ball out of them, and just let them sit for a second and toss them out there. They'll stay right on the hook. Frosted mini wheats.
What I did yesterday, I put two kernels of corn on first.
Yeah.
And the liver. You know how liver don't stay on. And the
marshmallow
puts it on there.
See, I never heard of carp eating liver, but...
Got all the major food groups covered.
Yeah, you do. I have quite a balanced diet there. So.
Yeah, and then I put the marshmallow, and that holds the liver on, and then... But my grandson is so proud of his grandmother because she caught the first carp we've been trying.
Oh, man, that's wonderful.
She didn't really catch it, but she's seen it go down.
And yeah, sure.
This little girl, Maddie, my grandson's only six, and Maddie's 12 or something.
Yeah.
We met her down here, her and her mother, and they just came to bring us some fish for a pond.
That's cool.
And Maddie, I said, Maddie, you do it. Come on, you do it. Come on, and we're edging her on the whole way, and she did it.
That's great, man. That's great. Now, did you sign your grandson up for the Maryland Youth Fishing Club?
No.
Oh, go.
Nothing about it.
Go online, go to fisheries, and just look up youth fishing. It's actually let's see, dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries/keepfishing KEEPFISHING. And you can go right there and sign your grandson up for the Youth Fishing Club, and a lot of nice things can happen on that one. We had Letha Grimes on last week about the youth component to the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and a lot of these fishing derbies around the area are selecting kids to go to the Fishing Challenge, and there's something that the kids can get involved in is the Maryland Youth Fishing Club.
He would love that.
There you go.
One more thing about DNR.
Yeah.
When we first got there, we were getting our stuff together. My wife came to help me because I went to the hospital the night before in the ambulance.
Right.
But whatever, that's something else. But she was just unpacking the new rod that we bought, getting the plastic off the reel.
Yeah.
And DNR came down, and he was looking for fishing license.
Sure.
So I had mine, Case, and he's only six. And so then he asked her, and I said, she's just unpacking to help him because I'm in a handicap, you know. And he says, well, she's got a fishing rod touching it. And I said, it don't even have a hook. She's taking the plastic. He says, well, she's touching it. But he was very nice. And he says, I understand. He says, you know what? We got to do what we got to do to make sure there's fish for everybody and take care of the reservoir and do his job. And
there you go.
He was so nice, and he taught my grandson and me and my wife a lesson that if you touch one, you will get in trouble. He was just doing
now, it's
job.
A shame you didn't go out there today because it's a free fishing day. She doesn't need a license today.
Are you kidding?
And last Saturday, too. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. Don't you listen to this show, Mike?
Yeah.
It's a free fishing day today.
I thought you said it was last Sunday.
Saturday, the 2nd, today, and the 4th of July. Three free fishing days.
Oh, man, I wish you knew that yesterday. Okay. Well, then she can fish today because we're going back because we got to get two or three more.
Well, she can fish today.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Made I'll your day. Down. Thanks, Mike. There he goes. It is a free fishing day across Maryland, and the license requirement is waived for the day. No, you don't have to waive your license at a DNR cop. All you have to do is go fishing, and you won't get checked. Right. I mean, there are other violations, but it's free fishing day. You don't need a license today, that's for sure. There is a youth fishing event at Patterson Park in Baltimore. Starts at 10 o'clock. Ages 15 and under, you can register at the event if you head up there. This is a Maryland Fishing Challenge youth event where one lucky youth angler will be randomly selected to attend the Maryland Fishing Challenge finale and win a guided youth fishing trip. There's a youth fishing event at the Hillcrest Pond in Baltimore County. Starts at 7 a.m. Ages 2 to 17. You can register at the event. There's a youth fishing event at Bynum Run in Harford County, ages 5 to 15. Register at the event today. Youth fishing event at Susquehanna Park in Harford County. It's at the Picnic Area Pond, ages 13 and under. There's a youth fishing event today at Tenalaway Lake in Washington County. It starts at 10 a.m. You can still get there. 15 and under, you can register at the event. Tomorrow, a youth fishing event at the Coon Hunters Pond in Allegheny County. It starts at 2 p.m., 16 and younger. And then on Monday, the dedication of the Lefty Cray Fishing Trail. You can find that online if you'd like to attend. Just drop me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and I'll send you the information. On Tuesday, June 12th, there is a scoping open house for the 2012 fishing license penalty changes and restitution. You going to be there, Rudy?
Probably not.
Ah, well, okay. But that sounds interesting as far as the fishing license penalty changes. So, very interesting stuff. I got an invitation from Sarah Widman on that one, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. Hey, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. I just told you about some of the events, and from now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim, he's a tagged rockfish. That's a striped bass worth $10,000, is swimming out there in Chesapeake Bay, just waiting to take your bait. Diamond Jim has lots of imposters out there, too, but even they're worth $500. You catch a rockfish with a bright green tag, call the number on the tag. You might just have captured a $10,000 prize. But wait, there's more. If you're lucky, I've been watching too much TV, too much late night TV. We'll double the prize if you call today. If you catch two rockfish, and if you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish and certify your catch, you are in. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater, tidal rivers, Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast to qualify. You know, could you could win great prizes, too, like the boat, motor, and trailer. Rig from Bass Pro Shop or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center. Even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. Stop by your local Fish and Citation Center or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2012 Maryland Fishing Challenge featuring Diamond Jim and this year honoring Maryland's own most world-renowned fly fisherman in saltwater, our own Lefty Cray. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. Are you feeling lucky?
This is the Wall Street Journal report. I'm Jim Blakecamp. About 1 in 20 hospital patients these days is getting a potentially deadly infection. And one of the most potent germs is known as Clostridium difficile, or C. diff, which accounts for 14,000 deaths a year. The Journal's Laura Landreau says these infections are getting harder to fight.
We've so overused antibiotics in the world that the bugs are becoming stronger. And in fact, one of the most virulent bugs out there is caused by antibiotic use.
Many hospitals have succeeded in driving down the rates of some once common infections, including MRSA, a type of staph bacteria that doesn't respond to certain antibiotics. And hospitals are taking extra steps now to keep their facilities clean.
Little swabs, looks like a Q-tip, and they stick the Q-tip into a special device, and that device can instantly tell you whether there are still germs around. There are all kinds of computerized programs that monitor all of the infections cropping up in different parts of the hospital.
Jim Blakecamp with the Wall Street Journal report.
You heard every possible ad about buying gold and silver. You've heard all the benefits rolling over your IRA or 401k into a gold IRA, but you haven't heard this. American Bullion, the leader in gold IRA rollovers, is offering to set up your gold IRA account for free. That's right. When you start a gold IRA rollover through American Bullion, you pay no IRA setup, no rollover fees for one full year. The time is now to protect and diversify your retirement assets with gold. Call American Bullion and get it done over the phone in less than 10 minutes. Call 800-600-4849. That's 800-600-4849. 4849. American Bullion will set up your gold IRA and roll over any portion of your current retirement assets into real gold free of charge. When it comes to owning gold in your retirement account, you need to go with the leader, American Bullion. Call 800-600-4849. Minimum rollover is $10,000 to qualify.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
I've got a good woman at home who thinks I do no wrong, but sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around.
Check us out to a special friend of ours who shall remain nameless. And we're all laughing because we know the backstory. And let's see. Ramiro Acero sent me a email. I've never fished in Maryland. Want to go take a friend visiting from Spain. Are there any easy places to spend the day, relax, and do some fishing? I listen to your show almost every Saturday morning. Listening right now. Thanks, Ramiro. Ramiro, you didn't say where you lived. I don't know if you're in Baltimore, if you're on the Eastern Shore, or wherever you might be. If you let me know that, we can help you out a little bit quicker. So, and you don't need a license to fish today, nor does your friend. So you can just go out and enjoy the day and get back into it a little bit. So that would be a lot of fun. But let me know where you are. You can send me an email, just and I'll look at it and reply to it. Or if you can call us. Anybody can call us here with questions for fisheries biologist, retired Rudy Lukakovich, and any questions you might have about catch and release fishing or fish kills. Any of those things come under your purview and your expertise. Am I correct?
That is correct.
There you go. And we were talking off the air during the break about some of these fishing spots. So if Ramiro wants to let us know where he's from, we'll give him a couple suggestions. Frank in Curtis Bay. Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Yeah, I called you last week and I highly disagreed with not really you, but DNR, what they do with the deer when somebody tries to raise a deer. And my friend found the little pet deer. It was a couple weeks old. They rescued it, and they give it the ninny bottle.
No, whoa. Frank, calm down. You don't have to talk so fast. I can hear you. You got plenty of time. Your friends found a baby deer and rescued it.
The mother was dead. It got hit by a farm truck or something like that, and it was two deer, two babies, and the other one died. They tried to nurse it back.
Right.
But by golly, they nursed this deer back, and it is so beautiful, man. The kids love it. You can pick it up and hold it. And I mean, if DNR want to come out and kill it, why don't DNR go to Baltimore and kill some rats, man?
Let me ask you, Frank, are you going to call me every week about this same subject?
Yeah, I talked to my buddy Les Consolvin last night, and that'll be it with it, but it just kills me. I think DNR is wrong.
Well, DNR is not wrong because it is a wild animal. There are problems associated with adopting wild animals. And once that animal is, quote, domesticated, it has been taken out of its wild environment. And the wild environment is sometimes rough. You said the other one died despite their best efforts. But once it has been habituated towards humans, let's play this scenario out. Let's say it's a buck fawn. Okay? It's a male. Frank, you with me?
You know, I don't know the difference between a male and a female, but yeah, I'm with you.
I feel sorry for you, brother.
I'm a city boy, man.
Well, let's say it's a buck fawn. All right, it grows up, and in a year from now, it's going to start. It's going to have antlers. Okay, so it was born. Let's say it was born this year. It'll weigh 60 pounds by winter time. By next winter, it will have a set of antlers. If it's got the proper nutrition and nutrients and genetics, it might have branched antlers. About a year and a half, you don't have to worry too much about it if they're keeping it in the barn or something like that. But at 2.5, that deer is going to want to breed. And if it's captive and breeding season comes by, it's not going to behave like that little domesticated lamb that you think it is. It's going to behave like a wild buck deer. And that wild buck deer can be extremely aggressive. And somebody could be hurt, whether it's a 5-year-old kid, whether it's an adult, or whatever it might be. At 3.5, they won't be able to contain that deer because that deer will have a very large set of antlers. It will be very strong, probably weigh 200 pounds, and be able to kill a human being with very little effort. That's part of the reason you're not allowed to keep a wild animal, especially a white-tailed deer. I don't care how cute they are now. I don't care if they sucked on a nipple bottle and everybody's happy and the kids ooh and aah. That thing is going to grow up, and it is still a wild animal and should not be contained.
But how many stories do you hear about deers attacking people?
A lot.
Compared to pit bulls, you know?
Well, see, Frank, that's a totally different deal. A totally different deal. I'm telling you, the capability is there. You are a city boy. You don't understand the ways of the wild. I'm trying to explain it to you, and all you want to do is fight me on it. Now, I'm going to ask you very nicely, not to call back on this same subject and play this same tune next week, okay?
Can I ask you one more thing?
Sure.
I mean, if DNR put them down, couldn't they at least cook them? I mean, I ain't trying to be funny, but it's just wasted meat. I mean, I've eaten deer meat, and it's pretty tasty, man.
Frank, you are amazing. You are absolutely amazing. There's no real reason why they couldn't. There's no real what happened. But let me ask you, what happens when a whale dies at the aquarium in downtown Baltimore? Do they cook it? Do they tan the hide and make a big blanket for the homeless people?
They should.
See, I agree with you. Thanks for the call, Frank. What do they do with the losers at the horse races? Can you say Philly cheesesteak?
Blue.
Can you say Philly cheesesteak? Philly cheesesteak. I think that's funny. I don't care who you are. That's funny. Rudy, we've departed far, far away from where we...
A wide range of topics being discussed.
Hey, look, you wanted to be here and...
This is
and
great.
You wanted to be here and watch the magic happen.
It's quite entertaining and instructive.
Here's Ramiro. Hey, Ramiro lives in Baltimore City. So what do you think?
I would say Rocky Point Park there at Back River.
Rocky Point Park at Back River is good. I like that. If you'd want to travel, Ramiro, maybe take the Beltway around to exit 18 and go out Liberty Road West, and you'll cross. If you go out there about, 9-10 miles, you'll cross the Liberty Bridge. You go up to the light, and between the bridges, and you can make a right there at the light. I can't remember the name of that road. There's a little liquor store there on the right, and you make the right, and you get down. I don't even know what that's called, whether that's Liberty Estates or whatever that road is there. But if you make the next right, you can get down to the boat ramp and park there. There's a nice parking area. You can fish at Liberty. If you want to go out further out Liberty Road and go out to White Rock Road, make a left, you can go to Piney Run Park. And they've got a really nice dock there. You can fish. You have plenty of places to park. If you got kids, they've got a playground. You can cook out. You can do the whole deal right there at Piney Run Park. So I'm just thinking maybe there's a couple places for you. Hope that helps. What do you think?
A lot of good variety.
So a lot of good variety.
A lot of options,
you know,
open to him.
Yeah, I mean, he could get down the Key Bridge. You could fish there.
Fort Armistead.
Absolutely. There's a nice pier there you could fish. So a lot of places. There we go. 410 WCBM 680. If you have any questions for fisheries biologist Rudy Lukakovic, we're here to take your calls here on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. My name is Alan Ellis, and it's time for me to tell you about Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Now, do what I do, folks. Do what I did. If you have a pickup truck, why not protect that truck bed with a Linex protective spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex in Glen Burnie. Linex is the best available protective coating on the market, period. That's why I've had one for about 10 years now, or 8 years, or something like that. I've never had a problem with it. Everything washes out, no blood, no mud, no crud. It resists impact. It resists chemicals and fuel, and it's just enhances the value of your truck. And if you want a black bed liner, standard black, you can get that. You can get the Linex Extra Protection with the shiny coat, which I got, which is really nice. Or you could get one to match your vehicle, no matter what color it might be. They can take your paint code from your engine, mix it up with a Linex color-coated DuPont Kevlar, and use your existing paint code to match your truck, and it'll look fine. And you will enjoy your Linex spray-on bed liner. Now, Bay Linex of Glen Burnie also has mobile service. They can come to your job site for commercial and industrial applications, from underground holding tanks and secondary containments to anything made out of styrofoam, or, you know, underground tanks or forklifts or trailers or even your deck. I talked to Bobby yesterday. He was spraying commercial flower boxes for a motel or hotel that they use outside. And, you know, they had these big flower boxes. They said, we want them sprayed. And, you know, I don't know if they were wood or metal or what they were, but I didn't ask him. But he was spraying them with Linex material. So they make a great coating for that, too. Linex Protective Coatings. That's right. If you'd like to know more, visit Bay Linex of Glen Burnie online at baylinex.com, or stop by at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, Bay I, just off Beltway Exit 3A, or what's Route 2? What's it called?
Ritchie Highway.
Ritchie Highway. Ritchie Highway North, right there outside of, yeah. Don't be fooled by imitations. Call 410-789-01, not Brooklyn Park, 410-789-0199. Ask for Bobby Hawkins. Mention the Outdoorsman Radio Show or Ellis Outdoors and learn how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card. Linex of Glen Burnie, 410-789-0199. Now more than just bedliners. I can tell them about Tochterman's. Absolutely, I want to tell you about Tochterman's. Talked to Tony yesterday. They're doing great. They're doing great. They've got the Costa Del Mar sunglasses, the largest selection I've ever seen for those bright sunny days that are coming up. You can, you know, go fishing in style if you like. The big, fat, juicy bloodworms, of course. A lot of people love their bloodworms. They call in advance, and they get just like a pizza takeout. You know, they call them up and order their bloodworms. You can do that. Tochterman's is located 1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point, 2.5 blocks east of Broadway. They've been there since 1916. Same family name, same location. Anything you could need, want, or imagine for fishing. They're all fishing all the time. It's surf fishing. They've been doing really well with the surf fishing tackle because fishing in the surf has been good. They've got spinning gear and casting gear, a great fly tying and fly fishing room with everything for fly fishermen. And they have the experts to back everything up. If you want to travel, let's say you want to travel to Florida or somewhere, an exotic place in the world, Richard's been there. Talk to Richard. He'll tell you what to take and what time of year to go and what tackle you need. You want to fish offshore? Talk to McCabe. You want to fish for bass? Talk to Gene. You want to fly fish? Talk to Joe. They've got experts for all aspects of fishing. You name it, they've got it. Tochterman's, downtown Baltimore. Don't forget your bloodworms. Tony Tochterman and Dee, very, very hospitable, very nice to deal with and talk to. Why not check it out? 410-327-6942. That's 410-327-6942 for Tochterman's in downtown Baltimore, 1925 Eastern Avenue, Fells Point. Stop by.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
us at the tackle shop. I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction. I got Bud Baits and Zara Spooks, pumpkin seeds and flutes, booyah crawfish jigs. I got a 7-foot flipping stick, all the soft plastics to hook one on a Texas rig. My wife stays on me and my banker just told me that he's working on a tax deduction for all the money I'm dropping on my weapons of mass destruction.
All right, weapons of mass destruction. You can go fishing today without a fishing license. And Ramiro thanked us for the tips and online. And we did get an email from one of our regular listeners that wanted to answer Frank. Tell Frank, he didn't call him Frank, to read the yearly. What are you laughing about?
Very good editing.
Thank you.
On the fly.
And the emailer also says, at the size they are now, they fit on the grill really well whole. So. we have some great listeners, don't we?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. And you asked a question about Tochterman's while we were on a break. You wanted to know if somebody could actually touch a fishing rod there without getting a fine today. Mm-hmm. Yes, they can. Okay. In the store. Yeah.
But not outside the store.
Not, don't take it out on the bay. No, you can't do that. Let's talk to Nick in Crownsville. Good morning, Nick. How you doing?
Yes, good morning, Alan. You know, I kind of hate to do this to you, but I'm going to follow up on this Curtis Bay issue.
Please.
not the same manner that Frank did. I have a sort of a different question for you, both you and your guest. I believe he's a biologist.
No, he's a fisheries biologist,
yes. Biologist, okay. Yep. Here's the thing. I used to live in Curtis Bay many years ago. I'm fairly familiar with it. Are you or your guest familiar with the Curtis Creek area?
Go ahead.
Okay, the question is this. I've heard over the past several years that there is some proposal to somehow clean up that Curtis Creek area, which, if you're familiar with it at all, is extremely polluted.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's a bowl.
It is, and
it's got factories all around it. It's got the docks down there. I mean, the docks, I guess you could call them, the harbor. They've got everything that gets pumped out of every ship. They've got all the industrial stuff that gets dumped in there. The base is laden with heavy metals, including chromium and others. And they go in there and they dredge that thing up every now and again to get the ships back and forth in there. And I can't imagine what the water quality is in Curtis Bay.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's sort of the genesis of this question. If you're familiar with Canton.
Yep.
Canton at one point in time, and I'm an old, as I say, Baltimore City resident, that was almost a Curtis Bay, if not equivalent, perhaps even worse at one point in time.
Sure.
Now today, as you know, it's a thriving, sort of upscale community. They have marinas, etc. there. So the analogy with Curtis Bay is this, that someone had suggested that because the Coast Guard is located there, they have a deep water access channel to get, ships
right
through there, that in some way it may be possible to somehow clean that area up and then, in a sense, make another Canton down there.
Sure.
What is your view of that proposal?
Hey, you know what? It's all well and good. It boils down to one simple thing, money. And where's the money going to come from? The state doesn't have it. The federal debt is unbelievable. I don't know if anybody made application for TARP funds for that particular project.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. It's going to boil down to where's the money going to come from. It's a great idea. I mean, look at Canton. You're absolutely right. They turned it around. I wouldn't want to dig any deeper than a flower bed in Canton, to be honest with you, to see what's in the underbelly of that area. And the same thing could happen. I mean, you could put a big patch on it and everybody would be happy, but does the underlying situation get fixed?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just asking. I mean, what do you think?
Well, the last part of this story is that the word Donald Trump had been thrown into it. Word was that Trump and some of his big-time investor people were looking at this, and their proposal. And again, I'm not privy to this in any objective, direct way.
Right.
But the proposal was that Trump would put money into this project that I'm referring to if, as you pointed out, the state and the federal government would come in and, you know, matching funds or whatever to
right.
start the cleanup.
Yep.
And he would then start the investment and, again, turn it into this, you know, high-rise marina, a cleanup area.
So, yeah.
Is it your view that that's not possible because of the environmental situation?
Look, the old adage is money talks and BS walks.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has enough money to throw at a problem, sometimes the environmental impact situation goes away. And it's made to happen. I mean, you know, that's what I said. You know, you can put a Band-Aid on it, but what's what lies in the belly of the beast?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer. I mean, right now, I'm sure you want the EPA is all over the place down there. You've got projects going on right now, like repairing the infrastructure, repairing the sewage facility that's leaking like a sieve into the harbor and other places. And you've got all the dredging that you mentioned going on, stirring up that mess of heavy metals on the bottom. And the question is, you know, how do you clean it up? How much money is it going to take to clean it up? And who's going to provide the money?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the taxpayers in this state have just been, they've just been turned upside down and their pockets turned inside out. You know, the feds want to come in and they want to point to the problem, but do they want to fix it? I don't know the answer to that. And you're asking, you know, questions that are almost hypothetical. You asked me if I was in favor of something like that. I would be, you know, I'd love to see something like that in the city. You know, William Donald Schaefer took the harbor and turned it into Harbor Place. How much money did it take? What would it take now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer.
Well, I wasn't really interested. Not so much in whether you were in favor of it, but whether it was just,
feasible to do,
hypothetically or otherwise.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, we're very innovative in this country. We can clean up a lot of things. We can do a lot of things if we set our mind to it and have somebody pay for it. I don't know if Donald Trump has enough money to pay to clean up Curtis Bay. To be honest with you, I mean that's a tremendous project.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
okay. Well, thanks for your time.
All right, thanks, Nick. Appreciate it. What do you think, Rudy?
Retrofitting is expensive, and it's not always workable. They try to do that with the sediment ponds we were talking about earlier.
Right.
In a lot of developments, they're trying to install sediment ponds now to control the runoff going into the bay.
Right.
It's, again, very expensive and not as effective as a natural situation.
Right.
So, unfortunately, we can't go back in time.
Right. I mean, we've got centuries of industrial waste and pollution going into that section down there. It's a shame because it's a nice part.
Yep.
But, who's going to clean it up and how much money is it going to take? I don't know.
And the sedimentation you were talking about, you look at some old maps of, where ships with deep draft could, how far back river they could get in the
sure,
old days.
Sure.
And it's all sedimented in now.
It's all sedimented in, exactly. That's a big problem, all the sediment and the runoff, that's for sure. But I'll tell you what's not a problem. Spending time in your sunroom eating a big old bunch of crabs and having good time with friends and drinking some adult beverages. The sunroom is where you can read or entertain your friends or family year-round in a relaxing, stress-free setting. The talented craftsmen at Sunrooms, Inc. can make your ideas come alive in a tailor-made, all-season sunroom that blends with your home and provides a climate-controlled room where you can enjoy nature even on the worst days. Sunrooms, Inc. has years of experience and uses the most up-to-date, energy-efficient materials and windows. The owner of Sunrooms, Inc., by the way, is a great outdoorsman. Just thought you'd like to know. And you know what? I've personally visited Sunrooms, Inc. job sites and watched as they constructed a custom Energy Star-rated sunroom with a lifetime warranty for a homeowner in Anne Arundel County. Expert work. I mean, just fine, detailed stuff, clean, cleaned up after themselves, beautiful job site. Simply put, Sunrooms, Inc. has the best sunroom technology, the most sunroom options, custom sunroom installation, a lifetime warranty on all sunrooms, and certified installers. Sunrooms, Inc., INC, can visit you and give you an estimate anywhere in Maryland, Delaware, or southern Pennsylvania. Visit the website sunroomsinc.net, sunroomsinc.net, or call toll-free 800-725-1380 to learn more about your new sunroom. Want to tell you about Fishbones Bait and Tackle. Stopped there yesterday, I told you. Bud was having a good day and having a good time. And we always have a good time talking to Bud at Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 4729 Mountain Road. Take Route 100 all the way to the end. Hit Mountain Road. Head out towards Gibson Island, 2.5 miles on the right-hand side. You'll find Fishbones Bait and Tackle right there in Pasadena, Maryland, 410-360-0573. You'll find everything you need for fishing, crabbing, all the bait, all the tackle, and the free advice you need. Plus, they've got crabbing supplies, those great big stainless steel crab steamers, that the last crab steamer you'll ever have to buy. They've got them in one bushel, one half bushel, and 1.5 bushel sizes. Just great for steaming up a bunch of crabs. Fishbones Bait and Tackle, 410-360-0573. Give Bud a call for an up-to-date fishing report or stop by and say hi. Tell me you heard about it on the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And one more time, it's time for me to tell you about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. Diamond Jim is swimming out there. He's worth $10,000 if you catch him this month, even more next month. But he's got lots of imposters out there, too. They're worth $500 apiece. And if you catch a citation-sized fish and register your catch, one of 60 species available around Maryland, it's that easy. You get in the Maryland Fishing Challenge, you could win great prizes like the boat, motor, and trailer package from Bass Pro Shops, or thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, maybe even a vacation from the World Fishing Network. Jump on the website, www.dnr.maryland.gov, for all the details. Are you feeling lucky? Well, we're lucky to have Rudy Lukacovich here today talking about the